The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God, by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I'm commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord. Please read responsively Psalm 25, page 3 in the bulletin. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimony.
Second reading is from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you, and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. If a parable doesn't make you uncomfortable, you probably haven't heard it. Over and over again, I come to that conclusion that the parables that are most at risk of not being heard are the parables that are so familiar that they've become a part of our culture. The ELCA has Good Samaritan homes. And of course, there's the Good Sam Motorhome Club. And Good Samaritan hospitals all over the place. I'm sure you can think of a few other examples. The problem is that we have become so comfortable with the Good Samaritan that we fail to realize how offensive it would be to those first hearers of this parable, indeed, and especially to that lawyer who came asking questions to test Jesus. Amy Jill Levine calls this lawyer malicious. This whole episode is contrived by this man coming to ask Jesus questions. And the questions are foremost to demonstrate that this lawyer has checked all the boxes, that he has done all that he needs to do so that he can comfortably look good in the sight of, well, polite society. In short, he has made fulfilling the law of Moses all about himself. That is contrary to the Hebrew scriptures, to his own scriptures. It is contrary to the purpose of the law of Moses, which he had received. And then, to punctuate it, his pattern shows up distinctly when he asks the follow-on question. He could have just said, "Thank you, I got it right," and walked away. But no, he had to ask, "And who is my neighbor?" Of course, Luke tells us that he asked to justify himself. I find this serendipitous timing of the text on a Sunday when the U.S. government is threatening raids in all kinds of cities for the purpose of deporting aliens in our land. I find this timing fortuitous, as some wish to demonize the aliens. And in the end, the effort is to make them enemies. You remember the narratives. You remember murderers and thugs and horrible, horrible people kinds of narratives. Hear this parable anew. There were all kinds of reasons that Samaritans were considered bad hombres by polite people of Judah. There is so much history that, well, Amy Jill Levine, that Jewish scholar of the New Testament, took pages upon pages to unpack that history in her book, Short Stories by Jesus. Suffice it to say that, to paraphrase her, the lawyer who is trying to make himself feel and look good would have heard good Samaritan about the same way that we would hear good murderer, or good thug, or good illegal, or to reach back a few years, good Osama bin Laden. The lawyer has made it all about himself. And too often, when we are focused on the eternal reward, don't we too? The lawyer, trying to justify himself, asks. And in return, he got a story about a fellow who was traveling and was attacked and mugged and left for dead. Two other fellows of positive repute. One happened to be a priest, the other a Levite, which is shorthand for saying he was a priest of the house of Levi. They came along and passed on by. Luke doesn't tell us why. Jesus doesn't tell us why. Now, there are Bible commentators who have all kinds of speculation. Levine calls a lot of that speculation hogwash. The truth of the matter is that the lawyer and all the others who could hear the incident were certainly able to identify with the guy laying in the ditch. I'm thinking that they could also relate to the priest and the Levite who walked on by. I know I sure can. I have all kinds of reasons why I don't stop. There's a classic experiment based on this. Perhaps you know it. Here's a quoted description. This Princeton University experiment sought to test just how willing people are to do a good deed. The experiment involved inviting 40 students to give a speech about what it means to be a good Samaritan. On each participant's way to their speech, however, an actor was put in place to feign severe distress and pain. For a percentage of the participants, the actor even acted as if they were part of an extreme emergency, such as a heart attack. Shockingly, fewer than 50% of the students stopped to help the actor. And less than 10% of the high urgency group stopped. Reminder, many participants were unwilling to help, even though they were on their way to discuss the benefits of being a good Samaritan. We are all at risk for a variety of reasons of missing the opportunity to love our neighbor. But then along comes this enemy, murderer, thug, bad hombre. It kind of reminds me of an episode of Bull. In this television series, there's a non-lawyer psychologist who runs a consulting firm that purports being able to select a jury just right to win the case. In this episode, one of the employees is out on a dinner date with a friend. Everything is going well. Until someone in the restaurant has a medical emergency, her date heroically helps the patient. it later becomes apparent that he was even more heroic than initially realized. It turns out that he was an alien without appropriate documentation, and at the restaurant, he had a decision to make. Exercise his medical skill and training, and risk being identified for his documentation status, and therefore deported, or let the guy die. In the end, he chose the other guy over himself. And that is the point. That is the point of the law of Moses. That is the point of the Shema. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. That comes from Deuteronomy. That is the point of the Levitical code. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you are making it about yourself, you have missed the point. It's about loving. It's about caring for the other person. I don't know about you, but for me, that bites just a little more than I would like. It's just too easy to rationalize walking right on by. The promise is that whether we walk right on by, metaphorically or literally, walk right on by racism and sexism and heterosexism and ableism and classisms or not, God chooses to love us. God's love is not predicated on our response, yet our response to God's love best reflects the grace freely given us when we respond with welcome, with love, with forgiveness, with kindness, with the same undeserved grace we have received. Indeed, go and do likewise. Let us not be cowards in living this good news in Jesus Christ.